Yes. Who are you?
We have, as human beings, everybody, we all go through situations. We all go through circumstances that questions our identity. Your finances has been going very smooth, and all of a sudden, the panic alarm goes off. Mortgage next month might not be met. That is that situation. That's that situation questioning your identity. Who are you? Who are you? You've enjoyed sound health. All of a sudden, you're feeling this pain that doesn't want to go. You've tried everything. You've tried everything you know to do. That is that situation questioning your identity. Who are you? Before I help you answer that, I'd like to bring up three situations in the life of Jesus where he also was challenged. And they all found in Mark 4, 5, and 6. In Mark 4, Jesus had finished ministry. So he gathered his disciples. He said, let us go to the other side. So he had already set his destination. We are going to the other side. But all of a sudden, the winds became boisterous. The waves started blowing here and there to the point that water started entering the ship. And I remember reading a statement once. A sailor said because they asked him, you know, your vessel compared to the mighty ocean is just something small. Aren't you afraid? He said, no, I'm not afraid of the water. It's not. But it is when the water enters my ship that is when I'll start panicking. But yes, it got to a point, the winds and the waves, the water was not entering the ship. And where was Jesus? He was somewhere inside taking a nap because he already set his destiny. He said, let us go to the other side. And that reminds me, I'll take a slight diversion. Somebody might learn from this because especially when we're going on journeys, we say, God, be with me as I go on this journey. Father, be with me. That's a waste of time. Because he has already said, till the end of the age, I am with you. So to now be telling him, Father, be with me. It's like when you were growing up and your parents were insisting, tidy your bedroom. That's on a Monday. Tidy your bedroom. On a Wednesday, tidy your bedroom. On a Friday, okay, Mom, I'm going to tidy my bedroom after I finish my homework. And just as you finish your homework and you're about to start tidying, your mom comes in. I said, tidy this bedroom. But you are about to do it. So telling God, God, be with me. Yeah? He has already said, I will be with you always. What I say is, for example, now, oh yes, when we're leaving this morning, we enter the car, I start it, I pray, and I end my prayer by saying, Basingstoke, here I come. Isn't it? In Basingstoke, here I come. Yeah? Praise God. But yes, Jesus already set his destination. We're going to the other side. But eventually they woke him up and check what Jesus said. Because I think it was 2 days ago, every time I read that portion, I just go to where he says, peace, be still. And we think that's what did it. But read your Bible again. It doesn't just say, peace, be still. First of all, the Bible says, and Jesus rebuked the wind. He rebuked the wind, and then he spoke to the waves, peace, be still. It was the wind that was causing the waves to misbehave. So he had to cut down. He didn't just wake up and say, peace, be still. And no, he first of all dealt with the root cause. He rebuked the wind. And then he spoke to the waves, peace, be still. That was a challenge on his identity, and that's how he responded. And that's how you ought to respond as well. James chapter 4 says, submit to God. Submit to God. Resist the devil and he will flee from you. Amen. in Mark 5. Jairus had just met Jesus and told him his daughter is sick at home and is at the point of death, but come and pray for her so that she might live. So that was his request. Come and pray for her so that she might live. And we all know what happened. In between Jairus meeting Jesus and Jesus getting to the house of Jairus, yes, the woman who had the issue of blood interrupted them. Of course, Jesus had to attend to her as well. And then just as he had said, well, woman, thy faith has made thee whole, news came from Jairus' house saying, trouble not the master, for your daughter has died. But Jesus turned to Jairus and said, fear not, only believe. Okay, are you all right? When I met you, my daughter was still alive. And my request was, come pray for her so that she will live. Then I tell me, what? Fear not, only believe. But yeah, Jesus told him, fear not, only believe. He got to Jairus' house, and there was, the wailers, the criers, they were all making pandemonium. Jesus said, why, what is all this for? He said, the girl is dead. He said, the girl is, she's just sleeping. She's just sleeping. And of course, to that, they mocked him. They laughed at him. They are telling you someone has died. You're saying, you're saying that she's just sleeping. But we all know what Jesus did. He went to her and said, Talitha kumi, which means, I need to read it because there's something. Turn with me in your Bibles to Mark chapter 5. Because just as in Mark 4, where the Bible records he rebuked the wind and then he spoke to the sea, there's also a line in Mark chapter 5 that I think sometimes we gloss over it. So, Mark 5 and verse 41. Then he took the child by the hand, which is what you do when someone is sleeping, isn't it? You raise the hand and then he said to her, Talitha kumi, which is translated, little girl, I say to you, arise. He spoke to her. So if there's anybody here, your bank manager or your accountant has declared your business dead, all you have to do is speak to the business, arise. If by the world's definition, your marriage is hitting the rocks and it might soon be over, all you have to do is speak to your marriage. Arise. Speak to it. And Jesus practiced what is preached. Because we tend to think God is interested in us giving a breakdown of our problem. Father, when I approached you, my daughter was still alive. The doctors gave her a few weeks to go. No, God is not interested. Yeah, and then we are. I need to choose. We drift into this false reality where we think we are waiting for God. No, God is waiting for you. Because He's waiting for you to speak, so he can do what you have said. He didn't say, whosoever should describe the mountain to God. No, he says, whosoever should say to the mountain. He said, I say to you, arise. And that's the way you should respond. That is the way, because your part is the same part. God's part is the doing part. Because Jesus rebuked the winds and he spoke to the waves, peace be still. And God took over. And all of a sudden, calm came. So God is waiting for you. God is waiting for you to speak. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Because if I, let's, would I find it in John when when Philip, when John was saying, Philip said, "Oh, show us the Father." And Jesus said to Philip, "Have I been with you this long? You haven't known. He who has seen me has seen the Father. The words I speak, I don't speak in my own authority." See, when those words come out, I mean, technically speaking, if your business has been declared bankrupt, you should be, should be looking for financial wisdom, blah, 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 maybe checking your... But all of a sudden, you are you are saying, business, arise. Amen. When you say things like that, you're no longer saying it in your own authority. Amen. You're saying it in his own authority. Yeah? And then your part is to say it. His part is to do it. Another time when the identity of Jesus was challenged. Mark 6. Mark 6. They had just killed John the Baptist. Imagine. The person that introduced him into ministry. They killed him. So Jesus told his disciples, let's withdraw. Let's retreat. And the people saw him. They followed him. This is a man that, okay, if in terms of being a human, he's grieving. The person that introduced him to ministry, they just chopped his head off. That was a bit crude, but that's what happened. They beheaded him. He is trying to grieve. Leave me, give me some space. But then, there's him. They followed him, and Bible records he was moved with compassion. And of course, he did what he does all the time. He ministered to them. He preached, talked about the kingdom. Disciples say, "Hey, Master, check time." We're in a deserted place. Let's send them home. Jesus said, no, let's not send them home. Go on. Feed them. One of them turned to him and said, even if we had 200, let's just say, even if we had 2,000 pounds, we can't buy enough food for them to just have a little bit. But Jesus was testing them. Eventually, they found out that a young boy had his lunch with him. And Jesus said, okay, tell them to sit down. Okay. And Jesus received it. He gave thanks. He gave thanks to God, broke it, gave to disciples. In between him giving thanks, breaking it, and giving to the disciples, before we knew it, 5,000 plus their wives, plus their children. So let's just approximate. 20,000 was fed. That was it. And then, lovely, lovely thing about God. The 200 denarii that they said, even if we use that to buy bread, we will not have enough for them to just have a little bit. The Bible records when the boy's lunch was placed in the hands of Jesus, they had as much, not as they needed, they had as much as they wanted. They had as much as they wanted. And I like the way Kenneth Copeland puts it. When you give, don't just give. Have it at the back of your mind. You are placing your limited in the hands of the anointing. In the hands of the anointing. Because that is what took a boy's lunch and made it enough to feed 5,000 men plus their... Because the Bible just says, the Bible just records 5,000 men. And even if we look around now, women are more than the men. And it has always been the case. It was women that found out that Jesus was alive first. So even though the Bible records only 5,000 men, come on. Okay. Bible scholars put it at 20,000. But one boy's lunch in the hands of the anointing turned into a dinner that they took as, Bible recorded, they took as much as they wanted. And then we also fall for this false pretense that when I give to God, I don't need to expect back. Are you okay? That's the foolishness of the devil. Because have you ever found a farmer that planted one seed of corn and went back expecting to find one? And when he now found four or five cobs or plenty of corn, this is wrong. I put only one seed there. And then believers, we fall for this. Okay, when I give God, I should not expect back. No, God wants you to expect back. And what you need to have at the back of your mind is that money, the money you are given, the money you just gave today, it's now. And then, yes, we have this. Let me correct this thinking because it grieves me. They say, it is my gift, it is my offering that the pastor is living on. How dare you? How dare you? No. You've placed it in the hands of the anointing. And there's a verse in Philippians 4. I kept reading it until one day God just opened my mind. Because Paul told the Philippian church, I'm not mindful of your gift, but that fruits abound to your account. So the first time I read it, I was like, okay, so as a minister, when people bless the ministry or they bless the church, the pastor should be pray, okay, release the blessing, release the power of the blessing on the seed that they have sowed so that fruits can abound to their account. Until one day, God just reminded me, every word in that book is me talking. Yes, I know that was Paul's letter to his Philippian partners. But every word in the Bible is me talking. And I changed it. So every time you give God, if it's God you're giving, he's not mindful of what has left your hand. His mind is on what he's returning to you. And read it carefully. He's not mindful of the gift, but that fruits will abound. Abound means, means if, okay, let's not do, let's do mathematics. Some people think that hundredfold is you give God £10, and then we're thinking bank, 100% interest, God will give you £10 back. And that's not hundredfold. When you give God £10 and you're going for the hundredfold return, you add two zeros to that 10. It's 1,000 that is in the mind of God coming back to you. So every time, and then do this with your tithe. Do it with your tithe. Start with your tithe. Because you tithing is you taking, is you taking out of your limited salary, you're taking the 10%, and you're returning it back to God. And change the way you talk about tithe. Don't say, I'm going to pay my tithe. You are not paying your tithe. You are giving it back to the one it belongs to. Make a feast of it. It's got to the point. AC and I, that's what we do. That's what we do before we bring, because the tithing is not that 10% you're bringing to God. It's the words you speak and declare over that money. Because the tithe, or start seeing tithe as a, that's worship on itself. Because he blessed you with health. He blessed you with the skills. He blessed you with the knowledge. He blessed you with the experience. And at the end of the month, that's what came in. 10% belongs to him. Start seeing that. Because this, my attitude towards tithing changed. One day, it was on Facebook. A friend, they were talking about tithe. And then a friend of mine, I put there, all of these people arguing because they are not living the blessing of the tither. So I directly messaged him. I said, what's the blessing of the tithe? I say, Tunde, and you have been tithing. No, you have not been tithing. If you don't know what the blessing of the tither is. And I think that's the reason why some people struggle. You think, the cost of living is going up. So I need to be very, very wise. My income has not matched inflation. Our pastor is still saying, bring 10%. It's because you've not discovered the blessing of the tither. When you find out, and today I'm not going to tell you, the same way my friend did not tell me, I had to go and do my homework. I'm going to let you go and do your own homework. When you discover the blessing of the tither, you will never need pastor to remind you again. Because if God could take what was meant to satisfy one little boy, and in the hands of the anointing, it satisfied 20 to the point that they had as much as they wanted. The next time you bring your tithe to God and you physically visualize yourself placing it in the hands of the anointing. And the pastor said, I think it was this year when it was time for offering. He said the reason why people struggle to give is because they're not yet tithers. And of course, when you cross that barrier and you now become a faithful tither, you now become what I call a cheerful, joyful, oh God, I've won the third one, but then and an obedient giver. Yeah, there's four words that God gave me. Cheerful, joyful, I can't remember the third one, but if I remember before this, before the message over, I'll go back to you. But yes, when you cross that barrier, you become a tither. Yes, your giving now becomes, you know, cheerful about it, and because in 2 Corinthians, where I got that from, it says cheerful. Somebody help me. We read it this morning. Cheerful and generous. Yes. God added obedient. Because sometimes, especially good. Thank you, God. I'll go to there. I'll go there. Especially if you are here because God has sent you here, and you physically know your part, because we are a body and every unit supplies its, you know, because if one cell of your body is not doing what it's meant to do, that's where you start having pain. You have to go and see doctor or believe God for healing. Yeah, but we are all members of a body and you have your own part to play. Especially you're connected, you know God has put you here. You won't need pastor to come and say, oh, the church needs blah. No, God will go to you and say, okay, I want you to do this. And I'm going to do this. That's why God added obedient. Because there are times God will, or you sense. Okay, let me use that word. You sense a leading to do something financially. And then most times, you need to be wise. Well, what do you mean? What do you mean give God? What do you mean give pastor £5,000? Obedient giver as well. It doesn't just end in generous and cheerful. Obedient giver as well. So the next time you bring your tithe or you bring your gift, see it as you are placing it in the hands of the anointing. And have it at the back of your mind, especially your tithe. Your tithe has now connected you to God's unlimited supply. Your salary was limited. But you tithing and being a faithful tither now connects you to God's unlimited supply. Hallelujah. Oh, yes. Another time when the identity of Jesus was challenged. Now, we'll go back to the start of his ministry. This man had just fasted 40 days and 40 nights. So, of course, he's a human being. Of course, he's hungry. He is craving food. And the devil comes in and says, if you are the Son of God, turn these stones into bread. Of course, I'm hungry. Of course, I'm the Son of God. Yes, and of course, I can transform those stones into bread and I can have a lovely feast. But how did Jesus respond? Thank you. It is written. It is written. And to now show how foolish this guy is, this man just said, it is written. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of the Father. If there was one wise brain cell in his head, he would have gone to God first. I said, this next temptation I want to tempt him with, I want him to jump. Can you tell him to jump? Because that's what Jesus said. It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, by every word that proceeds from the mouth. But then, you know, I said, it is written. Okay, me too, I know Bible. I know script. Jump, for it is written. He shall give his angels charge. And when, this is a diversion, this is not part of what, but I'll share it as well. When we read where Jesus said, thou shalt not tempt the Lord your God, most people have thought, okay, like for example, just jumping off a cliff by hoping that, believing, you might be believing that God will catch you, that's you tempting the Lord your God. No. He was talking to the devil. Thou shalt not tempt the Lord your God. Told the devil who he is, and the devil did not know. He didn't see, that's how foolish he didn't catch. He said, thou shalt not tempt. He said, it is really, thou shalt not tempt the Lord your God. At that point, if he was wise, he's actually, he's my God. I might as well just leave now. It's not tempting. But then he said, no, one more. One more. What I took from Adam, which is now mine, he has to go to the cross to get it. And I showed him the glory of all the kingdom. So just bow down. And I'll give it to you. Now that had to be a temptation. It had to be a temptation. Because for Jesus to get that back, he had to go through the cross. But the devil's not saying, just one small bow, and I'll give it to you. Thank God, Jesus countered that again also with, it is written. He didn't pass those tests because he's the Son of God. He passed those tests because he knew what was written. He knew what was written. So the next time life challenges you, asking you to your face, be it whatever it might be, challenging you to your face, who are you? You better know what is written about you. Because in times like those, God is waiting for you to say it, so that he can back it up. So you need to know what is written. You need to know it. You have to know it. Now, to help you to answer that for you, if we go to to give you some answers, okay, to give you one of the possible answers. When life challenges your identity and you don't know what to say about who you are. If you turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 30. 1 Corinthians chapter 1 verse 30 reads, but of him, of who? Him. Who's him? Thank you. Of God, you are in Christ Jesus. So if you are personalizing this and you are to say it, how would you say it? Thank you. I am in Christ Jesus. Now that, because that's the way God does it. Or that's the way God has set it. Now this needs to become your meditation. I am in Christ Jesus. The life I live now is not, it's at the expense of Christ. And that simply means everything he went to Calvary for, you have access to it now. Everything. Not some. Not a portion. Everything. And that also means you need to find out what that everything is. You need, like Gloria Copeland says, you need your own revelation. Yes, you can live on pastor's revelation for a little bit, or feeding on pastor's revelation, you should use that to push you into the word of God to get your own revelation. Because when you now say, I am in Christ Jesus as a result of his revelation to you, then things change. Things change. And in closing, it's Second Corinthians. Second Corinthians chapter 5. God showed me something very interesting there. I'll share it with you and then we'll round up. Sean, can you help me with the keyboard, please? Second Corinthians chapter 5. I think it's verse 17. Yes, verse 17. It reads, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, so, are you in Christ Jesus? Are you in Christ Jesus? Mm-hmm. Good. So this verse is talking to you and talking about you. He is a new creation. Oh, do I have enough time to go into that? Because there's a translation that says, new species never seen before. Okay, no, God is not giving me permission to do that. Because in subsequent, when I come back, because I'm hoping that this will now become a series. Because in that 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 30, where it says, of God, you are in Christ Jesus. It also says, Christ Jesus has become for you wisdom, righteousness, sanctification, and redemption. For deep. Because you are not growing into wisdom. If you are in Christ Jesus of God, Christ has become for you wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption. So we need to spend time looking at each of those. But today is just to give you an introduction. So we're back in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17. He is a new creation. All things have passed away. Behold, all things have become now. Yeah, I know it reads new. But God, there's one day I was reading that, and God just said, read that new as now. Because if you don't have a past, what do you have? It's now. It's now. God introduced himself as, I am who I am. Consistently present, never changing. So that thought of, oh, if I fast more, the power of God would be bigger. Lie. That's not a lie. Because he's all the powerful. He's the most high God now. Now. So if you are in Christ Jesus, you live in the now. And the might of the power of God you know now. Now, not the one you're looking to develop into. No, it's the one you know now that is strong for you, that delivers you, that
helps you. That's the one.
Hey, maybe if I pray, if I speak in tongues, it will. Because I know what I'm about to say, but I can't. I'm finding the right words to say.
But yes, you are in Christ Jesus right now. Yeah. And that's the way you respond to anything you're going through that's challenging your idea. I am in Christ Jesus.
I was thinking about it. You know, with a credit card, for those of us who use credit cards, you pay for something and then you have to pay it back. But living in Christ Jesus is similar to running a credit card. The only difference is that the balance on this credit card is unlimited. And then you don't have to pay back. Okay, we missed that. but that's
all it means. I am in Christ Jesus, and right now I have access to everything that name represents and everything he has done for me.
And I'll close with this. For a long time, I thought that in the beginning there were two gods, God and the devil, and they didn't like each other. Yes, that's the way I am confessing. That's how I thought. Until God opened my eyes and made me see. Because especially if you grew up in some places in Nigeria, you know that. My son has come to say, "Oh, sir, have you encountered Juju before?" But yes, if you grew up in some parts of Nigeria, yes, it seems that it is powerful. Until God opened my eyes to and revealed to me, the devil was created Lucifer.
He's not a God.
You want to, if you want to experience it, obey James 4 completely. Submit to God, resist the devil.
He will flee from you. Yes, he would raise all sorts of circumstances and situations that make it, if you analyze it, if you touch those circumstances and situations with your mental, well, if you think about it, yes, it would seem impossible.
The doctor said, have this operation. But God, in his love and wisdom, revealed, I am still God. And he found one person that was bold enough to be politically incorrect and share that good news. And today, that person is the mother of a child. I'm always blessed by those testimonies, because in addition to being a teacher, I also write. So back then, especially when our lovely lecturers were on strike and I was at home bored, not with nothing to do, I used to write stories. So I remember once I wrote a story about a couple that was struggling to have children, and it took them about 3 years until somehow they now had a child. And I went to this meeting where this lady gave a testimony and got married. Year one, no baby. Year two, no baby. Year three, no baby. Year four, no baby. They went to a doctor's. The first doctor they went to said, nothing wrong with you guys. You know, naturally you should be able to conceive. Yeah. Year five, no baby. Year six, no baby. So they decided to now go for another doctor to get somebody else's opinion. They got a doctor. So, we need to do a deeper scan. And it was in that scan that they found that she didn't have a womb. She didn't have a womb.
But
of course, you know, hearing such news devastates. It would devastate any woman who is married who wants to be a mother. Of course, she cried at first. But then she realized, no, my mother had me, no problem. They've given me to this man. And part of us being together is us having children. I am going to have my own child. She went to a meeting where, of course, man of God does not know who is declaring the word of who is speaking to. But he just said, this year, next year, no, this time next year, you will carry your own baby. She, you know, like a sponge, she soaks that and said, yes, that is me. And of course, the next year, the woman that was told did not have a womb had a child. But at that meeting, she was there with four children because year after year. Hallelujah. Amen. Yes, he would paint the situation as though it's impossible. But you have to remember, he was created. And whatever he has raised up against you, yes, it seems impossible. But to the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob, it is nothing. He's just waiting for you to say what you want so he can back it up with his power and deliver it to you. Amen. Have you been blessed this morning? Rise to your feet and give God praise. Hallelujah. Father, we give you all the praise and we give you all the glory. We give you all the praise and we give you all the glory. We give you all the praise and we give you all the glory. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Glory be to your name. Glory be to your name. Glory be to your name. We thank you, Lord. We receive your word and we live here with our own assignment, meditating on our identity. I am in Christ Jesus until we receive our own revelation and we live in the fullness of that revelation, the truth that I am in Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. Glory, glory be to God. Glory be to God. Father, we give you all the praise and we give you all the glory. We thank you. We thank you. Take all the glory. Take all the glory. Thank you, Lord. For it's in the name of Jesus.